have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
She had a dream that she could do it, and how she lost her way and didn't stick to it. She wanted the house, the cars, the money. She did all that she could. In her mind, she was so focused, doing overtime in the diner. Just wanted someone to wine and dine her. She didn't believe in herself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself,
believe in yourself. Believe in yourself, even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Cancer, going to the doctor for some answers. They said she wouldn't make it, she couldn't take it. She did all that she could, getting sick from the chemo. Bank account started looking real low. She knew she could make it, she wouldn't take it. She believed in herself.
Believe in yourself, you can do it. Believe in yourself, ain't nothing to
it. Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself. Even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Malachi 3:10 is one of many scriptures that direct us to bring our tithes to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. We have all heard this scripture and probably several others that make clear that giving to God's house is the number one financial priority for all believers. Despite the many scriptures that make it clear that God expects us to give to Him first before we do anything else, many are not obedient to that requirement. Some begin giving regularly, but then stop when they believe that they have more important financial priorities. It is as if they believe that God is giving them a pass for a few months while they deal with other priorities. If we truly believe that God will provide, we must have faith that he will provide a means for us to take care of any priorities that arise without foregoing what he expects of us. There are others that give regularly, but when they go on vacation or are unable to attend church for some reason, they think it is okay to not pay their tithes and offerings. They believe or conclude that because they physically were not at church, somehow the requirement of giving to God's house disappeared. Even when on vacation, you must pay your rent or mortgage, so you have to ask yourself, does it make sense to forgo your responsibilities to the Lord for any reason? Ultimately, it is about making sure that giving, as God directs, is the number one financial priority in your life. I know so many people that complain that for every step forward financially, it seems like they take two steps back. They get an increase in pay, but then unexpected expenses begin, which more than negate the pay increase. Or just as they believe that they are about to get all of their past due bills under control, they lose their job. Most of the time, I discover in conversation with these people that tithing has not been a priority for them. In Haggai chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, the Lord tells us, "You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit." Essentially, because the financial priorities of the Israelites were not aligned with God, God was putting holes in their pockets. Giving should become before bill paying, before pursuing hobbies, before eating out, even before repaying debt. Does giving have this priority in your life? If so, I can assure you that God will meet all of your financial needs. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by the Pastor's Corner, and I believe it is Ladies Night, so stay tuned.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's gospel news. Isabel Davis is a pastor and contemporary Christian recording artist based in New Orleans, Louisiana. Born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, she started singing as a toddler. A few years after she became worship pastor, she and her husband moved to New Orleans, where they joined the City of Love. Within 5 years, she was named the church's worship pastor, and it was around that time that she released her first single, The Call. It was released on Global Ministry label. Marika Chisholm was born and raised in Atlanta. Marika is an in-demand psalmist and worship leader. She's also a licensed minister and prayer leader. She started singing at the age of 2 while a member of the Big Miller Grove Baptist Church, where she was a faithful member until the age of 20. She then went on to become a member of the Citadel of Hope. She was under the tutelage of the late Maurice Culpepper. He embraced her skills. Marika released her debut album, Simply Worship, in which she captured the hearts of many and solidified her presence as a duchess of praise. Vocalist Alexis Spike makes contemporary gospel music that touches upon dance music and soulful R&B. Born in Buffalo, New York, Spike grew up singing with her sisters in church, where her father was the pastor. Also, as an adolescent, Alexis toured with her siblings in their family vocal group, the Spike Sisters. In 2012, at the age of 19, Alexis was the runner-up on the gospel-oriented reality vocal competition, Sunday Best. In 2013, she released her debut album, LOL, Living Out Loud. In 2015, Spike released a Travis Malloy-produced single entitled All the Glory. The month of March is Women's History Month. This week, we remember Marie Maynard Daly, born August 16, 1921. She was an American biochemist. She was the first African-American woman in the United States to earn a Ph.D. in chemistry. She was awarded it at Columbia University in 1947. Daly made important contributions in four areas of research: the chemistry of histones, protein synthesis, the relationships between cholesterol and hypertension, and cretins uptake by muscle cells. Marie Daly attended Hunter College High School, a laboratory high school for girls run by Hunter College. She was also encouraged to pursue chemistry. She then enrolled in Queens College, a small, fairly new school in Flushing, New York. She earned her degree from Queens College in 1942. Upon graduation, she was named a Queens College Scholar, an honor that was awarded to the top 2.5% of the graduating class. She attended New York University, where she completed her master's degree in chemistry, which was in 1943. She became a chemistry tutor at Queens College and enrolled in the doctoral program at Columbia University, where she was supervised by Mary Latta Caldwell for a Ph.D. thesis. She was the first African-American to receive a Ph.D. from Columbia University and the first African-American woman to receive a chemistry Ph.D. Marie Daly was designated as a career scientist by the Health Research Council of the City of New York. Daly retired in 1986 from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine and in 1988 established a scholarship for African Americans for chemistry and physics. In 1999, she was recognized by the National Technical Association as one of the top 50 women in science, engineering, and technology. She passed on October 28, 2003. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, the group Fire, Fix It. Renee Spearman, I Got God at number 9. 8, E. Dewey Smith, Your Presence is a Gift. 7, Juan Winans and Deborah Joy Winans, Never on My Own. 6, Dante Bo, Joyful. 5, Rudy Currents and Chrisette Michelle, No Greater Love. 4, C.C. Winans, Believe For It. 3, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music, Gyra. 2, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, Gotta Believe. And for the second week in a row, our number one song comes from Ernest Pugh with Thank You So Much. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your Women's History Month tribute, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can do so by going to my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, my name is not Bishop-elect Ernest Richard, nor is it Apostle Urban Whitlow, nor is it Apostle Smith. But my name is Kimmy Kim, and we are on the Pastor's Corner, and it is Ladies' Night. Woohoo! Yes, First Lady, it's Ladies' Night. And thank you so much. I want to give a shout-out to Nita Taylor and the beautiful First Lady, Sharon Richard, for that financial nugget, because I really believe that finance is important. So let's give it up for them. I just love the information that you bring. Thank you so much. I'm still waiting on my recording for the live podcast, but I'll still keep waiting. But anyways, I'm just grateful that you are on. We have a great topic for you tonight. It is Ladies' Night, and we want to celebrate women. And I really believe that we celebrate men as well, but it's beautiful to just take a time out and just celebrate who God has made us. Don't get me wrong, we need our men, but we are celebrating our testimonies as women. So we're going to share our testimonies. We may cry. We're going to also talk about some of your favorite women in the Bible. We're just going to just have a great old time. But before we begin, let's see who is on for today. So I see my friend, Michelle, Pastor Michelle out of St. Louis. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here with you, and praise the Lord to everybody.
Amen. I also see my friend, my best friend for over 12, 20, seem like 30 years. Janelle Robinson out of Atlanta. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Yay. All right. Good to see you on as well. And I also see Pastor Henderson out of the Midwest. That is Indianapolis, a beautiful sister. How you doing today?
Blessed. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. So glad to be on tonight.
I'm going to be honest, ladies. I did not know that it was Ladies' Night. This is like last minute, so we're going to have a great time, and God gave me this wonderful topic as I was walking earlier today. And if I do see more callers on, you're welcome to participate. Do you mind introducing yourself? You're welcome. But anyway, we're going to continue. But I just want to thank you all for coming on. I'm sorry. I think that's Apostle, Bishop-elect sister. Is that you?
This is Overseer McPherson from Connecticut.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good, good.
It's good to hear you. And please participate. We would love to have your input. It's all about fellowshipping and learning from each other. Yeah. Iron sharpens iron. And before
That's
we begin
right.
this wonderful discussion, yes, we need each other. And before we begin, I would like for Pastor Michelle to give us the prayer in.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you and praising you for all things. We ask, oh God, that you come into this podcast, have your divine will and way. Thank you for every lady that is participating on tonight for Women's Night. Thank you for those that would like to have been here, but God could not make it. We just want to worship you and praise you for all that you've done and all that you're about to do. We ask that you will lead us and guide us. And as our visionary, Dr. Kimmy Robinson has said, God, we ask that you will just continually lead her, bless her for the vision that she has for Elation Radio and for our Elation family and those that listen in. Have your divine will and way. We trust you, we honor you, and we praise you. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and we forgive others. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And honor to all those that are serving as the men on tonight, our Bishop-elect and Lady Sharon Richards. We honor you all, as well as any of the apostles, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, and as well as any other apostles that may be on tonight. We just say thank you. We bless you, God, for you and Apostle Smith. God bless and have your divine way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that wonderful prayer. And I know I'm calling you Apostle Henderson already. Okay, Pastor Henderson, you must be coming up very soon. I said Apostle. But do you mind reading the scripture for tonight? Oh, my goodness. I do apologize. It's coming out of Luke 21, 5 through 13.
Amen. Luke 21, 5 through 13 reads as such. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and that the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of the wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The great earthquake shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and the prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you the mouth of wisdom with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist.
Amen.
I read you hearing Luke 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. I was given that scripture as I was walking because I was looking for a wonderful scripture that shows that our testimonies are based on things that we have gone through, the trials and tribulations, and, you know, it's who we are as people, as women. And I just love this particular scripture. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. Oh, here she is. I'm just grateful that God has given us testimonies so that we can share among each other. And I really believe testimonies are who we are today, because without the testimonies, how can we know that God is good? Because I am still reminded that women are just as important as men, but men, of course, is the head, because God loves women. He has created women. Women are needed to complete a man. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, that it says, for a man indeed ought to not cover his head for as much as he is the stage and glory of God, but the woman of the glory of the man. We will celebrate women tonight because I really believe that God has created us not just only for men, but for his glory. So I really believe that we're going to respect our men. We need our men because we love them wholeheartedly. But I really love the fact that our testimonies are who we are on today. So the theme that you see is, I want to really zoom on, is the last verse when it says, in Luke 13, it says, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. So it's powerful in testimony. So with that being said, we're going to go around, and if you mind, don't mind sharing your testimonies. You know, it could be in the past or in the future. I mean, not future, but what you have gone through. So we can know that God is still working in the business of testimony. So I'm going to start with my sister from the 203 number first, and then Pastor Henderson and First Lady, then Chanel, and then Pastor Wright, and then myself. I want to hear some testimonies. You know, we're celebrating women. It's Women's Month and it's celebration. We come after the Heart Month and the Black History Month. That's amazing. You know, the Love Month and Black History Month, and now we're celebrating each other and with humility and with the help of the Lord, so that we can know that it's because of him we are here. It has nothing to do with us, but he says it's okay for us to edify one another because he wants us to love on each other. Because he says, how can I love him who I'm not seeing but do not love my brothers and sisters? So I really believe, you know, when we celebrate each other, that is another deed of love. So with that being said, I would love to hear some testimonies. 203, do you mind? I forget your name. I'm so sorry. What is your name, my sister?
That's all right, Mary Gail. You can call me Mary Gail. You can call me Mary. But I like Mary Gail.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll call you Mary Gail. How about that?
Do you want to share
your testimony?
Sure. I just thank God that to be on the line tonight, I count it a privilege to be here and to hear other people in other areas, which is a blessing. My testimony is that I gave my life to Christ at 17 years old, and my biggest thing was because I came from a broken family, and at that time that was the only thing that I could hold on to back in the day to get New Testaments in school. And I kept my and I used it, and I read it, and I would go anytime I would get in trouble, because being in other people's homes, sometimes you always be the one picked on. And if I was something I didn't do, I would go in a corner, and I would just read that testament until I get get a consolation. And most times it worked out. Most times it worked out. But I had an early relationship with God because of that. And when I was around 17, I met a lady that was really saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and on fire for God. And she's probably in her 20s or something like that. And I lived with her. And from her, she showed, you know, we talk love, we say we love people, but after being in so many different homes, I experienced true love with her. And she, you know, her thing was, you go to church. If you stay here, you go to church. And we were used to that, because if you didn't go to church on Sunday, you couldn't come back home and do nothing. You just sat around the house. So it sort of helped you to get out to go to Sunday school. So then after that, when I made up in my mind, and they had the tarry service on the altar, and it just made you want to get down there and praise God and do like the other ones were doing and things like that. And eventually, that's why I say train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I was with her at 8 years old, and when I think I was 14 years old, then I ran away on my own. But what I received from her at that time, it kept me. I had a relationship that prayed all the time, prayed God kept me. And I just thank God for that, because these are the people that we need to meet in our lives. Some people need to meet these kind of people in their lives now. People are hurting in the world today, and
yes.
a lot of them, some are in church and some are outside, on the outside looking in. But we need to be able to reach out and just minister to somebody and look at that one that's sitting back in the service and not, you know, we great with the ones that come up, the ones that are open and things like that. But we need to look at that one that's not, they're there, but they hardly raising their heads and things like that. And you may call the prayer line sometimes and they may not get up, but it takes a special person at some point to really go over and just start a conversation. We don't start conversations like we used to. We're not, and I'm saying this because I've experienced it, not there's any of your churches or anything like that, but the love of God has to be shown. And I feel like that's where what got me into the house of the Lord, the love of God, her love for God, and then it spread it abroad to me. Even though I was an outsider, she made me feel like an insider. So I just thank God for that. I could go on, but I won't. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Oh, that's amazing. But that's important to know your identity. I think the identity is the most important, and that is amazing. So thank you so much. This is your first time being on, or second time, and you're sharing your testimony. That shows that you're amazing. I mean, testimony can be shy. I was a shy person. I thank you for that.
I'm shy.
I thank you. Thank you so much for that. I believe, who is next? I don't remember who's next. Tried it to my head, but I believe
And then Pastor Henderson.
Hey, there you are. How you doing, my sister?
Amen. How are you?
Good.
I thank God for being a part
here.
Of this podcast tonight. Amen. Amen. I thank God for each one on the line tonight. Amen. And I thank and praise God, amen, just for this opportunity to be on tonight. Thank and praise God for how he just kept me all day long. You know, I just thank and praise God, I too, like Overseer McPherson, you know, I've been saved since a teenager, and I just thank and praise God for knowing that he is a keeper, that he is a mind regulator, he's a healer, he's a deliverer, and he's been those things to me. I thank him for the desire he has in my heart to want to serve him, you know, going away to school and having experiences, but God kept me with a desire to serve him. I thank and praise God for keeping me all, you know, after that and all the doors that he has opened, you know, for my life. And I just thank and praise God for just knowing that he's able to keep you no matter what is going on in your life. You know, had challenges like everyone has challenges in their life, but God is a keeper. You know, he's a way maker. I just thank and praise him. He's keeping me through this pandemic. Amen. This is something that none of us have actually gone through in this lifetime. And so, you know, we heard of different ones that have gone through different experiences. I've had older parents and got to hear their experiences, but it's not like going through the experiences yourself. And so I thank and I praise God that knowing that he is a keeper and you know, he's able to keep his people. I thank and praise God just for being who he is, just being God, you know, because he's a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I just praise him for being God in my life, in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's beautiful, having God in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't remember the order. I'm sorry. Charge it to my mind. I believe it was Sister Chanel. You were next. What's your testimony? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I was trying to think. I have so many. You know, basically, you know, he brought me from a mind a long way. He changed me in so many different ways.
Hallelujah.
From the time I was a child to as a teenager to an adult, and right now I'm still changing. So he's forever changed me into a better person.
Amen. Good evening, everybody.
What's your testimony? I have so much as well, but I just, you know, as you said it, I was reflecting on the fact I was listening to my sisters, and most have said so far they were saved when they were younger, and I was one that I even though I was raised in the church, I went to church, you know, my mother definitely was a strong woman of God, and she definitely required us to be in church every Sunday, even when I was a little girl. But I wasn't saved until I was an adult. But I just thank God because, first of all, you know, the strength of my mother, I reflect on that because she was just truly a God-fearing woman and truly a blessing in my life in so many ways. And even as I matured and started to draw closer to God for myself and to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, she became my model that I constantly went back and looked on and reflected in amazement at the example that she was. And so I am grateful to God for, you know, for her and who she was in my life. And then I think about some of the more trying times that I went through, some things that I wouldn't have thought how I would have made it through. There was a period where it was a very short period of time. It was within a matter of like a 3-month span at one year when I went through a divorce. My job was eliminated and my mother passed away. And it was all in this like a matter of a few months. And I remember just couldn't see how I could possibly make it through that period. But God, I can't tell you just, you know, he surrounded me with people that knew him and had a relationship with him for themselves that encouraged me and just reminded me who I was in him. And that helped to sustain me and help me to push through. And, you know, since that time, he's just over and over and over again continued to reveal himself to me, continued to show himself in me in so many places and in so many areas where I couldn't figure out how I was going to get through certain situations, how I was going to deal with certain challenges, whether it was at work or whether it was in my personal life. And he continually came through, even though I couldn't see how he was going to make it happen. And in my view, I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, what's going to happen. But he knew my heart. He knew I wanted to do the right things. I wanted to stay faithful to him. I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. In some cases, that meant I needed to be patient and just wait, because it may not come. It wasn't going to come necessarily when I thought it needed to be there, but it was most definitely on time. So I am grateful to God for just the time and time again, him showing himself and revealing himself and really helping me to grow in him to a place where I remember years ago just praying to have more faith. And trust me, I won't tell anybody, if you ask for him to show you, to help to get you to be more faithful, he will test that until you become more faithful, okay? And I'm a living evidence of that, because when I started praying that, then things started happening left and right. I had no choice but to learn that I had to have trust and I had to have faith in him and only him. And he came through every single time. So I am grateful to God. It's just awesome gift, you know, that I can't even explain. I'm so grateful that the day that I fell in love with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor Michelle Wright. Oh my, falling in love with Jesus. That's one of those moments. Woo-hoo. I wish I had some sound bites for that one. I got one. I got one for you. Amen. That was a good one.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Okay, Pastor
hallelujah.
Wright, what about you? What's your testimony?
Well,
what's your testimony? I know you got
something
to say.
First of all, I say and concur with everybody that I just want to thank God for each and every one of the ladies that are on the line tonight and those that are listening in and the gentlemen that are listening in. I honor the women on tonight for Women's Night, but most of all, we know our guest of honor is the Lord. I just want to praise him for the process. I grew up in the church. I've always served in the church, but as our dear sister, Lady Sharon, said, there's a difference in serving him in the church and learning him in a relationship. And I believe that there are a lot of times when we grow up in the church, we usher, we sing in the choir, we do all of those things. There are expectations for us, and we feel we've done our justly service. But then there's a time when you come, and she mentioned that when you need him most, he shows up. And I found him to be the great I am. Whatever I needed him to be, he was that because of his word. And I found something out. I found out that in relationship with him was through his word. And that was beyond the singing. That was beyond the serving. It was that intimate space with him that helped me to grow and to develop. And so you talk about falling in love, to learning his ways. You know, when we're dating, we want to find someone that we feel mirrors the goodness and the attributes of God. Amen. But
yes,
what I found in the word was that those attributes were so wonderful. They were so kind. He was Abba Father. Like, whatever I needed to run to him for, he was available. I didn't have to wait till Sunday to get to him. I get the relationship every single day, no matter what time. And I thank God for that. I thank him that through our most painful places, that he's shown up largely to show that he is the healer. He is the God that takes care of us, provides, helps
yes.
us through, but also because he just saved us, okay, that he took the, he made a covenant that where we were, he would find us and he would love on us because he knew us. And he knew everything about each and every one of us. So I praise God for process tonight. I praise him that we're not all fully finished, that we are still working those things, that serving in those capacities of loving him, that he can fulfill the work, as he says in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing that we know, being confident of it, that he shall complete the work until the day of Jesus Christ. So I thank God for each and every one of you.
Amen. Okay, you guys are preaching. Oh, beautiful. My goodness.
Amen.
Another amen. Okay, I must say that one of my testimonies, I can truly say that I can really relate with you all. I grew up in church all my life, but I gave God my life at 12. And I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know what that was. So I didn't really understand it. So I went to Atlanta, and I lost my identity as a believer, but I wasn't growing. But over the years, to make a long story short, I lost my way. I became the prodigal daughter because I was always in church. I was still going to church when I was living in Atlanta and everything like that. But something happened to me in 1998 that made me realize that it has to be something better than this. And so I renewed my relationship with the Lord and, yeah, Baptist Church. And I was just this close in to becoming a Muslim because I couldn't understand why I have to be nice to, you know, people who are mean to me. And I didn't understand that you're turning the cheeks from someone who's, you know, being mean to you. And, you know, to make a long story short, it was for Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. The first day I walked in to that church, everybody was just so friendly. So I give, I thank God for sending me to that church because they show me the true meaning of what it means to have a relationship. And, of course, my mom and my dad, they fostered that, but I didn't understand it for myself. So I thank you all for your testimonies because, you know, Sister Mary said it earlier that we have so many, especially sisters, who are lost. I mean, I see people on the street selling their bodies or doing drugs, women, and I do pray. I wish I could do more. And I really want to reach out to them. So what are some of the methods that you guys use to reach out to those, especially women who are in need? And this is just an open forum. There's no, you know, special order. What do you do after you get your testimony and God has been so good to you? What do you do to go out and get those who are, you know, lost in the world? Because I would love to know some methods that you guys do. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that one of the things I think that we should do is just like for a job, you know, people go in, they're prepared, they're ready. When we're talking about winning souls, we need to be prepared and ready. And the most important thing is to let our light shine. To let people know, as our sister overseeing said, that first of all, you know, people are broken, they are hurting, this is their life, and we want them to come to know a living Savior, a loving Savior, one that cares. And I know we should have the enthusiasm and love, but use wisdom when we're approaching souls, that we recognize, just like we're strategic, there are some people that serve on sales teams, it's important for them to really be able to reach a certain quota. We should be like that for the house of God. We should be like that for the kingdom of God and just love on them and not come at them that will make them feel that they're so unclean and so unworthy that they can't be received by the love of God, but to share from our heart as the Lord would allow us to, that they may understand we too were in a position before he came to love on us that we had to be loved on. So I really believe that we have to use wisdom and going after souls and believing God that he's going to deliver and heal them and then be prepared if he gives you the assignment to walk with them until they get to where God wants them to be in their journey. And if he just leads you to plant somebody coming along the water, but just be willing to serve. So I believe it's just to be willing to love on them and ask God the best way to meet their needs for them to come to know him.
I like that. I like that.
Amen. And I agree with that also. In my walk and talk, I live the life.
if I'm walking down the street, whatever, I have a smile and I'll say good morning, even with the mask on. People now, you know, they seem to tend to not to want to smile and not want to say good morning, good afternoon. But I'm one that will, because Granddaddy, he would always, I'm from Alabama, and he would always, even if he was sitting on the porch or whatever, he'd just wait. And we would say, Granddaddy, do you know them? And he said, no, I don't know them. But it's just that that's the way he was. And you got to find your own way to get into him. Like my overseer, she would always, her thing was, hi, don't I know you? And they'd say, no, maybe. And then she'd say, well, do you know me? And then they'll look at her and say, no. And then she'll say, well, what church do you go to? And from there, she would start a conversation with them and find out, number one, are you in a church? And number two, you know, are you going anywhere? And so, and that's how I, you know, not always, I haven't gotten fully there, but I mostly live and I'll speak. And if I see someone like shying away or something like that, or a lot of times because of who you are, on my job, nobody knows that I was a pastor. I never told nobody I was a pastor. And the girls would, my patients felt how I took care of them, and they knew I was different from the other girls. And sometimes, like, one of them would be in there, and they would be talking, and they'd say, oh, you know, she's a pastor, da-da-da-da-da. But I never told nobody I was. They would always tell somebody. But in when opportunity presented itself, I was able to minister to the need that was in their life. And sometimes they're not always going to come out and tell you, but just show yourself friendly. And then it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but eventually your friendliness and your love, they can feel, you can feel love. That's one thing about it, you can feel love. So, and then after that, you build a relationship, and sometimes they will come to you. And recently I had this girl, and everybody on the job was talking about it. She was mean. She would get you in trouble and stuff like that, but people like that didn't bother me. I mind my business, and if I ever got brought up to authorities, I would always tell them how it was or what it was, so I didn't fear that. But I just let them talk and go on. So finally, she, this year, not a few weeks ago, she called me and she said, Mary, she said, my mother and my aunt both are on their dying bed. Can you pray for them? And I haven't been to work in over a year. So I said, sure. Wow. And right away, I told her, we'll be praying for you and watch God work. The mother, they had given her 3 days. And the aunt, she was just hanging on. So I took it to the prayer line, and we prayed. The mother, she lasted 4 days. But in that third day, she was able. She said, I wrote my mother a letter. And she said, I may not have been the best daughter. She said, hope I didn't give you a lot of problems, this, that, and the other. And so she had closure. And then on the next day, her mother passed, because her mother didn't want her to know about it, but she found out because, you know, they were calling everybody in. So that's basically my thing. I live the life. I don't jest and joke. I'm for real. When I say something, I say to myself on the job. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I do it. Everybody do it different, but that was my aunt.
Absolutely.
And my overseer, and I took notice of that. So I always try to speak to someone and say, sometimes I say, you know, God loves you, you know, and things like that, and just keep it moving. Sometimes that helps. I've given flowers. I bought flowers for myself, and I would go, especially like Mother's Day or something like that, and I would go down the street and just start giving them out to different ladies that would come by. So we can show love. We may not be the one that really minister and bring them in, but like you said, one plants a seed and another water it, so where somebody else may come in and speak into their lives. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's why it's called a teamwork, because one plants and the other water, but God gets the increase.
That's teamwork right there. I love it. Anyone else have anyone else have methods of how they reach out to the young ladies?
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to
you. I totally agree with has already been said, and I think just letting your light shine and being God's hands and feet and eyes in the earth realm by just showing love, you know, reaching out, being discerning to understand who somebody is in need, whether it be in need of a word of encouragement, whether it be in need of something financial, whether it be in need of something physical as far as food or shelter, being discerning enough to reach out and see how you can provide that, whether it be by referral or whether it be actually something that you yourself can do. And those are things that I try to do. My parents were givers, and I saw them give and take in people and help people that they didn't even know. And so I think it's just
same
being
as you.
Giving, being
when you cooked that food for us last time we were there, I was like, oh, my goodness,
amen.
That food. That was so good. I'm still thinking about that food. It was so good. I was like, this is no way. I was like, oh, my goodness.
And I love doing it. I did. It was, I really love. And when you really love God's people, when you love, you know, with godly love, it godly love gives. It extends itself.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what it is. It extends itself beyond yourself and esteems others higher than yourself. And I think that's what it's about.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
And also, I really believe that it's important that it's okay to have a shero. My shero is my mother. My mother taught me at an early age how to be a lady, how to treat people, how to pray, understand the meaning of knowing the word. That's my shero. So I would love for everyone to just, you know, who's your shero? So I'm going to start with Pastor Wright, then I'm going to go to Pastor Henderson, then First Lady, then Sister Mary, then I want to go to Chanel. Who's some of your heroes, sheroes? Because it's part of who we are. Oh, also my auntie, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bama.
Well, I have various sheroes, and I'd like to start with my mom and grandmothers were a very instrumental part of my life. My first mentor was a woman by the name of Sister Annie B. Bullock. She was powerful. She had 14 children and found in her heart that she wanted to make sure I was trained to do leadership in the church. And I just never, ever will forget her for the love she extended. But then we have those that are in our family. I am prone to the older women of the church. And for us, it's very important. And I have my 85-year-old aunt and a 97, who just turned 97 on Tuesday, cousin. These women pour into me still. It's something when you're they love you enough to pour into you at that age, because at that age you're more seasoned. You're still serving God, but to have someone else on your mind that's younger. Now, we're young in ministry as far as pastoring and things, but to take the time, like we call them to check on them all the time, but just to get a call to say, baby, you were on my mind. And then I also want to honor you, Kenny, as a woman of God and a visionary. I often tell you this, and I don't say it because we are so close as sisters. I say it because I honor you for the work that God has charged your hands to do. And I thank God for you. And all of those women and all of you, my sisters, we can't do ministry alone. I think that mentality of us being able to do it all, that just isn't what God ordained. And I say this in closing, that our titles should only give us access for the work. It's the servitude that reaches the heart of God. It's okay to have the title, but if you don't have the servitude, you've really done mm-hmm. your work in vain. And when we see him, we don't want to be accused to be those that he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because we took on a mentality that he never gave us permission to do. So God bless you all, and thank God for each and every one of you.
Amen, amen.
Amen. I
yes,
believe
and
the
my
next
spirit,
one. There you go.
Amen. Is my mom. My mom, number one, because, you know, she was a Christian woman who lived the life. She was a mother, a wife, and a mentor and teacher to others. She just set the example. You know, I never heard her complain, you know. Never heard her, you know, seen her do anything out of character, and that just helped me. And I remember one time I just asked her, Mom, do you ever feel sad? Do you ever, you know, I never really seen her express it. Even if she was going through something, she knew how to turn it around. And, I mean, she knew how to express that if she was going through something, that she expressed the word of God. It always came back around to the word of God, to be thankful. And that was one of the things, to be thankful to God, you know, to always be thankful. And so that brought me into a place of worship before the Lord. And she was a prayer warrior. I'd wake up in the middle of the morning or night and just hear her praying. And so she was definitely a prayer warrior. And so that was my role model. And when I went away to school, she helped me on the phone. I can call her up, and she actually helped me write some of my papers or gave me good ideas. And so she was not only just my mom, she was my best friend. So I just thank and praise God for her. And I thank and praise God for the other heroes would be the mothers in the church coming up, you know, just watching them as a young person in the church live the life. You know, it really helped me to want my life to be a clean life, that when others would look, you know, I would be a role model to someone else. And that has helped me to be a role model to others, the younger generation where I had came out of, that I was able to help them. And a lot of those young people are now doing great things for the Lord, as well as educationally and in the church, and they are still in the church. And so just having that influence and that impact. But it came from what I saw coming up and the people that influenced my life and those mothers and my mother. Amen.
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 First Lady.
Yeah, I'll go. Go ahead, Overseer. Ms. Pearson, I think you were about to go. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. You got to charge it to my
y'all
mind, because I'm telling y'all getting
tonight.
Older.
But the pastor that said servitude, I have three. I give honor to my mom because she had me and she didn't abort me, but she couldn't take care of me. And she couldn't place me in the hands of somebody that could. The late overseer Betsy Hardy and the late overseer Carrie Lloyd, who took home the first day of this year. And I just thank God for it, but I thank God for the foundation that they gave me. They were like twins, Overseer Hardy and Overseer Lord. They were like prayer partners, revivalists together. You know, they worked as a team, which was really beautiful. And the servitude part, me, you know, like I went in there one time because you serve people. And I told Overseer Hardy, I'm not serving nobody. I don't want to eat, and I'm not going to see nobody. She said, girl, if you don't serve, she said, you're not part of the house of the Lord, because he was the greatest server. And from that day, I started. If you needed me to wash the dishes, put a plate on the table, whatever my hands found to do, I did it. Because why? You got to be a servant to the people. And Jesus didn't come to sit up and be on a high pedestal. He came to serve us. He put down his royalty to come and serve us. So then from that day on, she didn't have to worry about me if we fed somebody. You want me to fry some chicken, I'll do it. You know what I'm saying?
but from that moment on, and I thank God for that, the foundation. That's why I'm where I am today, the foundation. I'm on a solid foundation, and you cannot shake it because I was built on it, and I thank God for it. So those are my three. But like I said, with my mom, she had her problems, but we had five of us, but she always placed us in somebody's care because she couldn't take care of us. And most of the time, two of us came to oversee her, Lord, which was my aunt. And I just thank God for them. And I'm hurt that she's not here now, but I understand when she was getting, she's laid in the convalescent for a minute. But she was my go-to person. She was my everything, and I just thank God. So, and I miss her so bad, but I thank God for her teaching that she left behind. Amen.
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 For me, I'm going to be like many. I think almost everyone said their mother, and I started my testimony talking about my mother, so it's probably no surprise that without doubt, she's definitely my major hero in my life. She, my parents divorced when I was a baby, and my father was a non-functioning alcoholic. So basically when they divorced, he really played little to no involvement in our lives. So my mom was the provider. She was everything for my sister and I. So at a time when, there wasn't a whole lot available for women, let alone black women, and she worked hard and gained the respect of all those around her, whether in church or at work, and she was always an example to my sister and I. I'm always kind of blown away when I look back. I never remember her doing anything that I saw that was outside of God's word. And I think, I didn't realize it, early on, but I realized my mom, she had a heart for local missions and just really reaching out to people, period. We were always, even as kids, she'd bring us along as she would go visit people in the hospitals and go to different people's homes that were sick, and she would drive people places that couldn't get, from one place to another for one reason or another. She was always there trying to help somebody else. Knowing the burdens that she was carrying, and I look back on it, and I was too young at the time to understand it. But when I was younger, when I finally saw, even the amount of money my mom made, and I was like, how did she do that? how could she afford to do all the things that she did? We never felt like we were lacking at all. We never felt like we were, devoid of love. She just truly was a strong woman of God in every way. And so I am grateful to have had her as my mother.
Wow, beautiful. Sister Michelle, Chanel, I'm sorry. Who is your shero?
My shero would be, of course, my mother. She grew up in the church, but she strayed away as she got older, and probably was when I was in my teens is when she really went back to got her fellowship back right with God, I would say. And once I saw that, I saw a change in my mother, the way that she acted, and it was a good change. And, So that's my shero.
Wow, that's amazing. Her change, may you change. Wow, that's how God does. I mean, when we have our zero, we're down to the final wire. I just got one last question, and then I'm going to bring on Bishop Elette, Ernest Richard, for the closing remarks. Before we do that, I would like for prayers out, and I want to also ask one last question. This is open to the floor. There's no given order. Before we go, what can we do as women, fire more women to become more of the culture of, Jesus said, the culture of the world? What can we do? What I know we described the methods that we use, but what can we do? Because I see so many women, unfortunately, they look for things to complete them. But the cliche is that people don't complete you. But unfortunately, if that's all they know, that's all they know. What can we do to inspire those, like Sister Chanel says, her mom changed her. What can we do to allow people to know that? I know we pray, we read the word, we speak to everyone, but what is it can we do intentionally to help women to realize that they are more than their outer? And then that would be my last question of the day. Because I really have passion for women. I love us. I live so many years in a way where God wasn't pleased, and I wasted so much time. And I asked God, I would do anything to make sure that people wouldn't waste time on things that don't complete them, that things that don't secure them, things that don't teach them how to love others, and things that aren't really solid like Jesus. So that would be my final. Thank you all for coming on, sharing your testimonies, your sheroes, your methods of how you share the word. That is so amazing. So I thank you so much for that. So I want to give you guys the floor. I would love to know, because I'm learning from you all as well. Anyone? It's open the floor. I'm sorry. I just want to know if you guys have any advice.
Can you repeat the latter part?
I guess the greatest advice that you could give is the one that everybody has been stating all night long, is your walk.
Mm-hmm.
Basically your walk with God, the way that you carry yourself, because if people are watching, you know, that's the way that I wanted to change, because I saw the change in my mother and in other women around me. And so if people see God in you, for me, it was like once I saw the God in my mother and in all the other great women that was around her, I was like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of want it. It motivates,
you know, it pushes you. It's like, you know, like they say that, like that fire. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes in, you have that fire, and it just burns, and you yearn for it.
Yeah.
And that's what made me want to change, was that yearning to be better, and seeing all these different women changing for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted. So basically,
wow,
it was
amazing.
Their walk.
Mm-hmm.
The walk, okay. Okay.
And
I like
to
that.
Add on to that. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah,
it's
open
okay.
Floor. Oh, absolutely.
to add on to that, to be approachable. And when I say that, because some Christians, some people in the church, you look at them and some of them look like they've been sucking on lemons for a long time.
Like
and,
that one.
And you got to be
I
able.
Like that one. Sucking a lemon. I need to use that one. Like
and you
got
to be approachable. People are not going to come up to you if you got a frown on your face, if you look like you mad with the world and stuff like that. They're not going to come to you. They're not going to approach you, but you got to be able to show and hide your feelings. Your feelings should be in the background most of the time. And I remember, and, you know, I have stories, but my overseer always told me, she said, if you got to cry, go in the room somewhere and cry. Don't let nobody see you cry. You know what I'm saying? And so the same thing, if you upset or something, go in the room, get yourself under composure, because why? You want to draw somebody else to the Lord. It's no more I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And that's my biggest thing that I see a lot. People are just not approachable, or they choose who they want to be around or talk to, but we got to be approachable to every man. And don't be judgmental. Just receive them as who they are at that time, and as time go on, your walk, your life, you know, I know we came from an era where they would mandate you to do certain things. We don't do that now. If the word don't do it, we can't do it, and that's what I believe. It has to be the word, but you got to let them be approachable to be able to come unto you to even share anything about themselves, and you be able to share something with them. Amen.
Amen. I like that. I love
Amen.
It. I like second 11.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I agree with everything that's been said, and I think if I were going to add one thing too, it would be to be an encourager. You know, even someone that you know is troubled, you can usually identify a spark or something that you can tap into and use it as a means to encourage them, to let mm-hmm. them know that you notice that good that you see, you notice the beauty that is within them. And if we do that probably more proactively, I think we would also impact and influence more of our sisters.
Amen, amen, amen.
And I also agree. I agree with that. And I also wanted to say, too, when we are showing someone the love of Christ, let us remember his example. He was, like we said, a server. He gave of himself. He was genuine. He made sure that he was willing to share, again, of himself with the disciples. He gave them what was on the inside of him, that we should be willing to, if we see that someone needs something, that we know God has blessed us or gifted us in that area, to be willing to encourage them, as ladies Sharon said in all of the comments before, that they would have what they need. Because we don't just want to start this mentality of let's get them in the door and yet they're left alone, or let's get them to Christ and then they don't know what else to do. But to be the type of ladies and women of God that will share of ourselves, so they know, as my sister said, we're approachable, as Wanda said, just being there for them and loving on them. Because in the church, you know, we see a lot of things like we don't like to talk about it, competition and this and that, but we want to show the love of God the way Jesus showed it to us, because when we lift him up, people are drawn to him. So may God bless you. I've been enjoying this all tonight, so I thank God for each and every one of you.
Thank you so much, and wow, you all are wonderful. I love your comments, because I really believe that it is who you look, your presentation, the light and the salt, and the words are powerful, going through that domestic violence. But it was more of a verbal abusive situation. Words hurts.
Yeah.
So without further ado, before we close out, First Lady is still here, so we got to keep going. We got to hurry up before she goes to bed. So we're going to bring on Bishop Elette. I love messing with First Lady. But
I know, because I fell asleep.
We almost there. Bishop Elette, do you have any closing words before we have Sister Mary prayers out?
All right. Well, first and foremost, I thank God for all of you gathering together and having the open forum. Sometimes you just need to talk. Many times on radio podcasts, everybody has an agenda with a list of things that they want to discuss and want to steer the conversation in certain directions. But every now and then, you just need to let your hair down. And I don't have much to let down, but the little I got, every now and then, you know me, let's just go for it, whatever it is for that particular moment. And it was good to hear. I mean, nobody asked me, but I'm going to, before I do anything, are any of the other brothers on, Apostle Whitlow, Apostle Smith, are either of you here?
You're the only one. Ha, ha, ha.
I'm the only
one.
They were
like,
well,
ladies' night.
Be.
Yeah, sorry.
That's right. Yeah, ladies' night, the fellas evaporate unless it's a hot topic.
Yeah.
But anyway, primarily, you know, and I'm glad to hear who your sheroes were or heroes were, whoever the case may have been. And really, my grandmother, that was my heart right there. I don't think I would be where I am in this given day and time had Maybelle Blanks not, she didn't force me to go to church. She said, baby, you want to come go to church with Grandma? Because Grandma was going. I wanted to go because Grandma was going. Okay? Come on. But we've been in church all our life, but it was different. It was a difference when Mom said, you're going to church. And when Dad said, you're going to stay in this house, you're going to church. But when Grandma simply said them tender words, baby, you want to go to church with Grandma, man, it was like you just invited me to the biggest event of the entire universe. Yeah, I want to go. And from there, I got to learn different individuals, see something. That's why I got such a love for the seasoned saints. I don't want to call them elderly. I want to call them seasoned. Because I spent a lot of time around elderly. And when I first came into ministry, I'll tell you honestly, my grandmother on her sickbed was making phone calls when I would come down to North Carolina. I just came down to North Carolina to see you, Grandma. I didn't want to do anything. And she's calling, and I so bless God that she introduced me to her pastor, the late Elder Lloyd Butler, who passed on about some 10 years now. That was my first away, I went there and spoke on a particular night after my grandmother got on the phone. Well, my grandson is down here, and he's a minister now, and they tell me he has a word, and Pastor, you just ought to hear him, and the next thing you know, I'm in his church preaching. They invited me back to come 2 months later to do a 5-night revival, and I mean, I didn't know anything about running revivals because I wasn't even a year old in ministry. But I had another shiro. I had another shiro, and she was my spiritual mother, the late Maddie Atkinson Darden, because God used her along with Bishop Willa Moody to birth me into ministry. You know, that in Agape Christian Center, which is located in New Haven, Connecticut, my home church, I mean, I'm the first born male of that particular church. And I was surrounded by seasoned ministers and women who, you know, if I wanted to go left, I couldn't go left because they had me hemmed in, okay? I was the baby in ministry at the time. That didn't last long because about 7 or 8 others came before I left. I'm taking away all my thunder and all my joy. Let me be the baby, y'all. Come into the ministry some other time. It's my time. Anyway, she, and I promise you, these are not my words. You can call Bishop Moody at any given point in time. She'll tell you. Overseer Darden used to call me her many miles. because when she started sharing the word and really sharing the word to where I had real understanding, there was an intensity that came over me for the space of 3.5 years or maybe close to 4 years where I would go to work, come home, study the word, go to bed, get up in the morning, pray, study the word, go to work. Come. That's all I did. I had no kind of social life. I wish I could go back to that time, but, you know, well, life has changed and things have changed. But nonetheless, and when it was time to minister, it was an unusual thing. The anointing would come so strong. Any of you ever got drunk while you're ministering?
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody?
The Holy Spirit. Oh yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
What?
Yes, sir.
Know who it was, but I'm trying to describe to you what would happen when I would go minister. I would literally get drunk in the spirit while I'm preaching, and God sent a word through. I don't know. Many of you may not know who Prophet David Paul is, but David Paul was a white preacher in the Connecticut area, and this man didn't know me from a can of paint. He said to me, God is going to use you in such a way that the very words that you preach are going to bring deliverance and set people free. I can recall times I've had conversations with men that were stone drunk, drunk out there. You know they drunk out their mind. By the time we got finished talking, he says, oh, man, I was high a minute ago. I'm just as straight as I can be now, and I'm happy. I said, that's good. That's good. That's good. But, you know, there are just so many, you know, but I brought those two up, you know, and my mother, of course, being the stabilizer because she worked all the time. Now, even though my mother had a gangster-like mentality, my mother had a great love for people. And the beauty, I saw it when she got sick and needed somebody to take care of her. I promise you, not one of her children had to give up their job and go take care of her because people were coming out of the woodwork to take care of her. Okay? And I'm talking about friends of the family, people that were just friends of the family. She has more children. Biologically, she only had 3. But spiritually speaking, she had more children than you could shake a stick at. And, I mean, every time I used to go to my mother's house, they were, who is this? Oh, this is so-and-so from down the street, son. I don't know you from a can of paint. But Mama Rose, so-and-so, so Mama Rose. Oh, okay, it's just another. Just go with the flame. But that's the way our family's been. My mother used to do that all the time. But thank you, ladies, for sharing. I'm sorry I shouldn't be going on like this because this is ladies' night, and y'all just got a brother all juiced up and excited about what you're talking about. the truth of the matter, it's good to hear it because it brings back to your remembrance. You know, if you can't go back to where it all started, what can you do? You know, and I know Mother's Day is just a couple of months around the corner. And for those listening by way of radio, if your mother is still alive, don't wait for Mother's Day. Call her tomorrow or call her tonight if you're in an area where don't wake her up, but call her at a time because mine has been gone since Sharon, how long has Mommy been gone? About 6 years now?
2016.
Yeah, 2016. I can't never remember the date because it's, you know, me and my mother used to share the same birthday. But anyway, and, you know, and the beautiful thing about this, let me show you something about how wonderful my mother was. Many of you probably know I've been married 4 times. It was only the first time that I got married and the 4th time that I got married that my mother approved. And I'll share with you why. And I'm going to shut up after this and let Overseer McPherson do what she do. The first time I got married, my first wife, in high school, I got married as a junior in high school. And my mother approved of my first wife. And approving of my first wife, I mean, them two got along like you would not believe. I'll never forget. I thought my mother was going to break my wife's neck because she took my mother's car out and wrecked it. She yelled a little bit, but after that, she turned around and asked, are you all right? And she ain't say nothing else about it. That was it. Then 2 more came in between. We won't talk about that. We're going to cut that part out, let the gray areas stay gray. But I want to jump to August 2nd, in the year 2014. And even prior to that, I brought this beautiful young lady in front of my mama and said, Mama, I want you to meet somebody. And after talking with her for a little while, my mother told me, she said, that's the one. And 8 years later, I mean, not 8 years later, we got married August 2nd, 2014, and here we are. I got one of the best wives in the entire universe. Now, she's another hero. I'm going to say in your presence. But you got to understand something, because when my oldest son's mom died and my youngest son's mom died, they gravitated to her as if she had birthed them herself. And do not talk about Sharon G. Richard, because Ernest D. Richard III and Timothy Richard is Timothy Whitfield, but soon to be changed to Richard, will get up on your behind. I promise you. Okay? You could do a lot of things in life, but you can't talk about their mama. It's just the way it is.
That's beautiful.
Can't talk about their mama.
That's beautiful.
You know, I can't even talk about, so excuse me, I'll knock your behind. Try it. And we'll double, you can double team, triple team. You're still going down. That's my wife. Remember that. That's mine. Anyway, let me stop. Anyway, I'm excited. But overseers, come on and take over, you know. And see, this isn't new to me. I'm not just saying this because she's on the line. I say this about her everywhere I go. I say this about her all the time because she is that Proverbs 31 woman in the fullness, in every sense of the word. In every sense of the word. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, you go through heartache and headache and misery, and you run across people that misuse you and abuse you and throw you under the bus and treat you like dirt, and then you find that gem, that jewel, that treasure. All right, I've said enough. Let me shut up. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, before you pray, myself, I just want to thank you. I love this because you're showing that it's okay for men to love on their wives. I love that.
That's right.
You're showing that love is there. I love seeing love in the Lord. So I just thank you so much for that. And thank you. And First Lady actually made it. She's still on. Woo-hoo! So we're going to pass.
I made it. I'm going to sleep. No nodding or anything.
No, still awake. Oh, my goodness. But thank you so much, everyone, for coming on. And then next month, it will be Pastor Henderson's turn. Yay. Okay.
Amen.
Yay.
Amen. Me? All right. In closing, I do thank God for coming on tonight, and I thank God for the fellowship tonight. Dr. Kimmy Kim, I say to you, keep up the good work. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. First Lady Richard, you don't know. The day, I don't know what it was, but I wanted some mints or something. And you said, I'll get it for you. And then you came back and then charged me for it. I remember that. Pastor Henderson, before I ever saw you, I loved you. And when I saw you, I loved you even more. And I just thank God for that, because that's the love that has to be shown to people and the humbleness and things like that. So I do thank God tonight for being on here and hearing your heartfelt testimonies and things like that. And it just makes us strong women together. But we got to honor those that labor among us also and try to strive to push them forward. So that's why I wanted to take the time to give the tribute to each one of these that I know. The other ones I don't know, but I thank God for you, and I hope to learn of you. Amen. And,
amen.
You know, Bishop Beck Richards, real talk. But amen. So I do thank God. Thanks for having me tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Ha Manaya Saya. God, I thank you right now. I thank you for the love that has been shown on the line tonight. I thank you for reaching the heart of the matters and people getting together, seeing, feeling free to acknowledge their situations, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now. I give you praise. I give you glory. Hallelujah. And even as we close out this line tonight, help us to remember, help us to these things to remember to continue to minister to us, that we may be able to reach out to others and they may have the same testimony that, you know, that person reached out to me, that person showed concern. God, I thank you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we thank you right now for these, your people that took the time, glory to God, to come on the air, to be here. And God, we thank you right now. We give you praise. We give you glory. And Lord, if there's a need in anyone's life tonight, we ask you to minister to that need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Minister to the need that's in their life. Hallelujah. Let them know that you are concerned about them. And we're going to praise you. We're going to give you glory. We're going to thank you. And I can't wait till the next time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.